What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The Blind Tag, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, WLW Studios Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring the Pat Buck Show and the Bro Show, and the Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Just cause I love my niggas, Rough Riders. I shed blood for my niggas. Ride or die. Let a nigga holler where my niggas. Get down on lady. All I wanna hear is right here, my nigga.
What did you say, nigga?
You do? Well, where are they? Look at all these niggas in here. Look around here. There's enough niggas in here to make a Tarzan movie.
If you two ever really started going at one another, inside of 5 minutes, he'd be calling you.
Don't say it.
Nigga.
He said it.
Nigga, what the hell did you say?
Business. Keep it up. I'm a nigga.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
And I chop it down with the edge of my hand. Oh boy! What a night it's gonna be. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, broadcasting live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, from the Forgotten Borough, Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am not joined by the Mega Powers tonight. He is not on assignment. I think he said he had tickets to a show, so I'm assuming he's at, I don't know if he's in Broadway, if it's off Broadway, if it's a wax museum. I don't know what the hell's going on with that guy, but he's not here. I'm here with all of you, your new Friday Night Delight, your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. This is Rant EM Radio. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. And what a show it's going to be. I I figured, Jesus, man, when I found out Dave wasn't going to be on, and I was going to have my wife on, we were going to have the contract signing for Mega Slam, my wife gets called away on business, Dave taps out on me, and I'm like, holy shit, am I just going to talk about The Undertaker for 2 hours? I can't talk about The Undertaker for 2 hours. I can't. So now I'm working like an animal, like all week. It's been like a ridiculous week at work for me professionally. It's been like a disaster. By the way, hello to everybody in the chat room. I saw Felonious Punk in there. I'm going to take some calls tonight. He's going to get him on. Ted Turner, thank you for gracing us again with your presence. Josh E is in there. I see Tank. It's a fucking romper room. I see John and Peter and Bobby. Surfer's in there from the What Are You Reading comic book show. Another rant EM talent. Hello, sir. And everybody else is anonymous. All right. Anyway, so I thought I was going to talk about fucking Undertaker all for 2 hours. I'm like, God, I wish I had something to talk about. I really wish I had something to talk about. So all week I'm like scoping the internet, trying to dig for stuff, trying to get a topic, a round table of some sorts. I'm not going to not entertain you guys because that's what I like to do. I like to entertain you guys. So this is my new day off. I have an instant 3-day weekend now. Because of this new work schedule and all the nonsense I've been dealing with. So I wake up this morning to hit the head. And, man, my phone. First of all, my ritual is to plug my phone in before I go to sleep. I didn't do that last night. I was watching the Three's Company marathon in the middle of the night. And I just passed out, left the phone on my bed. So I woke up. My phone is, like, almost dead. But blown up, like, ridiculous. And I'll... Of course, if you've been living under a rock, the whole Hulk Hogan thing, we'll talk about that in a little while. But, like, he broke the internet. He broke my phone. And it was like, okay, now I have something to talk. So I went on, waited a little while. I posted something on the throwbacks page. And then everybody was like, okay. And I had, like, four different countries involved in this thread. And it was amazing. And that's why I love you guys to death. You guys are the best fans on the fucking planet, no doubt. And we're going to have a good time tonight. I did a little intro. I had some time today to kill. I treated myself to a movie. Went and saw Ant-Man. And it was really good. I am a fanboy. I am middle-aged now, so I feel like my interpretation of some of these movies is not going to be as broad as the masses. And... I got to tell you, I'm sure, I know Surfer talked about it, Jordan talked about it, and they'll probably cover it again on their show on Sunday. But I enjoyed it, man. It wasn't over the top, fantastic, phenomenal. It was well done, I thought. The story was pretty cool. They really casted it well. The special effects were pretty hot. And I got my money's worth, man. You know, I caught the matinee. There was like 8 people in the theater. The best part of the whole experience about going to a matinee is like you could sit anywhere you want. I mean, it's bad enough you're paying almost $15 for a movie now anyway. But, like, when you go to a matinee, you could sit... I sat, like, dead middle of the theater. Reclining seats. I had my snacks. I was chilling. Had a coupon for, like, free popcorn, even though I paid an extra dollar for the upgrade because I'm a fat bastard. So I got that going on. And then the best part, even better than that... was they showed the Star Wars trailer. And people were losing their minds in the theater. All 8 of us, like, screaming and clapping. So, it's been a good day. The weather's been fantastic here in New York City. We had a little bit of a heat wave in the beginning of the week. So, you know, fat people do not like the hotness. So, I was sweating like an animal. And that's pretty much it, man. It's the weekend, and I'm glad now I can start your weekends off right. I know it's like really dumb, ridiculous, late in the UK, so thank you, Felonious, for hanging out with us and whoever else is checking in from some other continent. Guys, if you have a chat name, in order to be in the chat now, you have to create a username. They revamped the chat room last week, so I'm glad that's working out. All right, a couple of programming notes real quick. Tomorrow night, the Wrestling Call-In Show with Mr. Will I Am Morgan and his cavalcade of clusterfucks on that show. Shout out to Will and the boys, Big Tone, Randy, all those cats. And then, of course, like I mentioned, I love that logo, man. The What Are You Reading comic book show live on Sunday, 5 p.m. with Mr. Jordan Cobb and the man they call Surfer.
Anything else jumping off? New Shining Wizards came out yesterday. They had Del Wilkes on, the Patriot. Go cop that, man. It was good. And they had Mike Dell, the lifeguard from Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Had him on there, too. It was a good episode. New Midnight Jury's coming out. And, of course, Sunday you'll get the inclusive breakdown and all the other ones on Shining Wizards Network. So it's a good time to be a fan of the networks. It's a really good time to be a wrestling fan because after today it's been an interesting day, to say the least. All right. So let's get into the pay-per-view from last Sunday, which was Battleground, all right? Now, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. And I called it on a rant, and I was pretty, pretty colorful about it, mainly because I feel like for a split second, my intelligence was insulted, okay? And there's a lot of different opinions, and some of you guys that were even in the chat room have given me your opinions and on the page and whatnot. And, you know, the product hasn't been good. We all know this. It's not rocket science. You know, if you're a smart fan and you accept that you're going to get mediocrity, you know, in the long run for this stuff, then you should set yourself up for failure, you know? And I compared it to me being a sports fan. You guys all know I'm a junkie for the sports. All my teams are underdog teams. I just grew up in that blue collar New York team, like the Mets and the Knicks, the New York Rangers. And when I was growing up, they were all terrible, terrible. I mean, the Knicks won a championship finally. The Rangers, not the Knicks. The Rangers finally won a championship in '94. The Mets won one in '86, and it's the only one they've won. And it was like, okay, now what, you know? But, you know, you grow up sticking with your teams. And even my football, I'm not a New York football fan. I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, for those who don't know. And my Vikings are terrible. They were terrible for a long, long time, since I'm a teenager. So, you know, I root for shitty sports teams. It's common knowledge. And I compare that to pro wrestling since 2005, maybe? Because the last time I really enjoyed watching Raw every week was around the time Eddie Guerrero was champ. You know? I mean, CM Punk stole the show for a little while a couple of years ago, which was cool. And, of course, I vicariously see the stuff now through my son's eyes, and I think that's amazing that he picked it up and he loves it. And we watch it together, and we have the network and all the toys and whatnot, and the video games, and, you know, but Warren Moon was a badass. He's my favorite quarterback of all time, by the way, Ted. Thank you. But, I have the network because I bought 4 pay-per-views a year, and I figured, you know what, it's still cheaper because I was paying $60 a pop for these pay-per-views, and I was buying 4 of them. So, I mean, like, the network is cheaper. And you know what? That's where I've been. But the acquisition of NXT and you know, the indies have gotten really hot, and New Japan came back on strong at the beginning of the year. So there's, like, this resurgence. And we've talked about the indies being on a resurgence, and I'm like, okay, now I'm not too upset when I have to fast forward to Raw every week. And I'm not too upset when these monthly events, I can't even call them pay-per-views anymore, when these events suck. Because they do. We've had a couple of good ones, you know. Battleground was okay. I'm not a big women's wrestling fan at all. You guys know that. I hate women's wrestling. But the girls came through. They performed well. We just watched it again tonight. And I'm a big Sasha Banks person now. I'm a big Sasha Mark, if you want to call it that. The Kevin Owens thing, listen. I hear it all day from everybody. Oh, just another victim to Cena. He's going to be a mid-carder, just like blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Listen, the guy has not even been here for 6 months. Maybe he just hit 6 months this month, I think. My math is terrible, guys. I'm sorry. I've been up for a long time today. I haven't seen a push like that in a very long time. So even if he gets pushed to the mid-card, he's on the main roster. He's over with the fans. And I like him. I always did. You know, after 2012, he grew on me. Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, whatever you want to call him. And they're moving in the right direction. But the main event killed me. Now, I'm very cynical when it comes to Seth Rollins. You know, I wasn't a big fan of him as Tyler Black. I didn't like him in NXT that much. He was okay. He's not a terrible wrestler. He's not a bad guy. I mean, something with me doesn't click with Seth Rollins at all. Okay? And when he got the championship, I had mentioned that I forgot on this show with Dave or on the other show, if I forget. But I mentioned that I want him to do well. I wanted him to do well because, you know what, they were going in another direction. It wasn't Roman Reigns, thank God, and it wasn't Cena. Okay? And they gave him the belt, and he arguably has had the worst title run in a very, very long time. Now, we mentioned Daniel Bryan's one run he had, he did like two programs with Big Show and Mark Henry, and it was like garbage, okay? Seth Rollins hasn't, and listen, I understand he's the heel, I understand he's part of the authority, I know there's going to be a bunch of swerves, but this guy hasn't pinned anybody clean since he's got the belt. And if you were telling me a better story, I would be like, fine. Tell me a better story and do the swerves. You know, it's like when Flair was champ back in the day. You know? It was like, you know, you knew the horseman was somewhere. But Flair pinned guys. He beat Kerry Von Erich. He beat Dusty Rhodes. He beat Ronnie Garvin. He beat Nikita Koloff. He fucking pinned guy. He beat Luger. He pinned guys. Like, legit. You know? Like, come on, man. Macho Man, when he was champ. Pin guys. Clean. As I see champ. He cheated to win the belt, but pin guys clean, nonetheless. Told a good story. Do I sound bitter? Yeah, absolutely I do. But it's just how it is. So, setting this up for Brock Lesnar, I kind of knew Brock wasn't going to win a title. However, I wanted to see a good story in the ring. I wanted to see a good swerve. I wanted to see something. Something. Okay? And he pretty much dominated the matches. We all saw it. And then, of course, the lights go out. The bong hits. And there is, you know, Christopher Lloyd. Almost 7 foot Christopher Lloyd with extra eye makeup. And I put the disclaimer up the other day on Monday. I am not, I don't hate or dislike, I hate that word hate anyway. I don't dislike The Undertaker. I never did. Up until 1999, I thought he was a great talent. I thought he was good for the business. I thought he was good at the time. He's been a soldier. He stood by them when they were losing money. The guy didn't go anywhere. And he banked, and he's reaping the rewards. Okay? And he just didn't look good. And he hasn't looked good in the past 5 years. Okay? In the last 5 years, he has not looked good. Let's be honest. And he's had good opponents in the ring. And he's been an attraction. The guy wrestles once a year. Once a year. He comes back, ruins it for Brock. They don't even have a finish. The pay-per-view ends almost 20 minutes early. And you're like the short bus kids staring at the Ferris wheel on the field trip. You know? It's like, it's almost like a bad soap opera. When the guy's cheating on his wife and they're caught in bed and you open the door, it's like, dun, dun, dun. And then, like, they go, you know, you have to wait the next day. But you know there's not going to be a next day. There's not going to be a next day. Because even when Undertaker showed up at Raw the next night, his reasoning, 15 months, he comes back, comes on Raw, and tells everybody that he did what he did because he didn't like the fact that Paul Heyman was talking about him every week on Raw. That's your fucking excuse? That's your your explanation? Not because you lost the streak? Really? Yes, Lee, he was a Jamook. So this Jamook, as I called him, a Jamook in Brooklyn, a Jamook is a punk, a schmuck, an idiot, a putz. That's what a Jamook is. It's just a word we picked. It's like Italian slang. Some people say mook. We use Jamook. But 18 months, and you come back, and that's the reason why you interrupted Brock Lesnar's match? That's the reason? And then people are like, oh, and everybody's messaging me, AA, and everybody, and they're like, oh, but the fight scene was good, the breakup scene was good, you know, them getting tussled, you know, them tussling was good. Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, you kind of knew after Sunday night that's going to be the main event at SummerSlam. And what bothers me the most about that is that you won't see him again. Whether he does the job again or whether it's a no contest or they'll beat each other to a bloody pulp or they put him over, you're not going to see him again until Mania. And I don't have a problem with the part-time guys, but tell me a story. When The Rock came in and out, they told a story. The Rock even called him out. He said, I'm calling you out for the next year, and you waited for it. Whether you liked it or not, at least you had a story. Whether you liked it or not, you had a story. It's not believable to me. It's not. If this was 1999 and this happened, maybe. Maybe you sold me. Now, not so much. You just left me hanging. I was so mad. Like, I couldn't... I if my TV wasn't brand new, I would have threw a fucking remote through it. I was tight. And people are, oh, how are you getting... Why are you getting excited for? Why are you getting upset for? Because you know what? I'm a fan. I'm a diehard. If you come to my home, I've invested so much money. Like, a third of my life, I am a huge fan. I love professional wrestling. I almost love sports entertainment. Everything about it intrigued me from the age of 8 years old. Everything. Now, as an old man, I'm still entertained, but my intelligence is insulted. And maybe it was insulted back in the day when you had characters, when you had cowboys and Indians and, you know, clowns and fucking and midgets and like all the shit, like, you know, all that stuff. Maybe, but I was too young to decipher any of that. You know, when you hit 12 and 13 and you're getting hip to it, you know, even still you mark out for certain things. You know? But it left me sour, man. Sour grapes. And I told everybody in the chat room that night, I told everybody on the rant. Even on Tuesday, I said, please, please defend that. Tell me why. Tell me why I shouldn't be mad. Stuff was structured better back then. Even with the nonsense, even when the new generation, even that was structured better. And some of it was crap. Thank God for ECW. Thank God for WCW. Thank God for cable ESPN for World Class and AWA. There's no identification now. My kid books better matches with his action figures. Right now, as we speak, booking right now in his room. With Steve Blackman. Figure that shit out. And I enjoy it, probably. I don't understand why they can't get it together. You have 3 hours of programming, under 10 segments, and you have 60 people plus to a roster. With marquee names. I understand Undertaker's a marquee man. I understand he's a company guy. He writes his own path now. But there's no story. None. Like, if this happened at, you know, last year, if it happened 6 months ago, maybe, but 18 months, man? Come on. And then I got this argument on Facebook. Well, you know, people were marking out. People were chanting. Of course they were. Of course they were. It's The Undertaker. I love fucking Motorhead. I'll probably go see Motorhead again in September. I love Motorhead. I love Lemmy. Lemmy's 106 years old. I'm going to scream every time I see Lemmy. Ozzy, 70 years old. I'm going to scream every time I see Ozzy. If you're an Undertaker fan like my sister, you're going to scream for The Undertaker. I get it. But fans are bipolar too. These newer fans, they don't know what they want. Bring this guy back. Bring this girl back. Bring him back for what? Tell me a fucking story. Tell me a story. You could bring them all back, but tell me a story. Can't stand Kevin Nash. Want to bring him back? Tell me a story. If it's fun, okay, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. I will. I'm a sucker for a good story. That's why I like to read comic books, and that's why I like to read sci-fi and fantasy novels. That's why I like to read autobiographies and watch the History Channel. I like a good story. I like the origin of certain things. That's who I am. With pro wrestling, it's no different. It was so simple, and it has nothing to do with who had the book back then. It was just smart people knowing what the fans wanted. Traveling from territory to territory, they knew who to bring in to make money and to have the crowd in the palm of your hands. You don't have that crowd no more. Pro wrestling is also not in pop culture anymore. When I was a kid, pro wrestling was everywhere. In your face. Magazines, newspapers, talk shows. It was everywhere. It was fantastic. Like, you couldn't go anywhere in big cities without seeing something in terms of wrestling. It was fantastic. And then, of course, you know, WCW took over, and then WWE competed, and then Vince monopolized it, and here we are. Here we are. 2005, YouTube, kayfabe, dead. Now, put it this way. The internet was the start of the death of pro wrestling. YouTube was the nail in the coffin. Wrestling fans were cheap to begin with. Now they're really cheap. I've sold fucking 15 shirts in 2 years. You're a bunch of cheap motherfuckers. I love you anyway, though. But wrestling fans have been cheap for decades. Because their time is precious. They want to invest their time wisely. And that's pretty much it, you know? I just saw Scott in the chat room. Hold on.
Scott!
So, you know, it's... For me, that's where I am. You know, Vince McMahon is going to be 70 years old the day after SummerSlam. 70. He's a healthy 70. The dude is probably looks better than half geriatrics, you know. But he still has a hand in the everyday operations. Fortunately, he's out of touch. And there's no secret about that. He's out of touch. They can't find the next quote-unquote face of the company. And they're trying to reinvent the wheel. So I understand why they brought The Undertaker in. Yes, Ted Turner. Lou Lamoriello was 72 years old. Geniuses are allowed to be old. And amazing. Lou Lamoriello is an amazing GM. If you're a hockey fan, he rebuilt the New Jersey Devils as much as I hate them. Now he's going to do it with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I get it. But to compare... And Vince is a genius, too. But Lou is not out of touch. Lou, the difference between Lou Lamoriello and Vince McMahon is that they're both visionaries in their respective fields, but Lou is still involved. Like, he's more in depth with hockey. He's a scout. He's a manager. He's a coach. Vince is none of those things. Vince saw entertainment and the birth of cable and banked on both of them and got luck of the draw and won. And God bless him. God bless him. You can't really compare that 70 to Vince's 70. Because fucking Lou is still going to Nova Scotia to, you know, to scout players in the Ontario Junior fucking league. You know what I'm saying? He's still going to the Quebec League. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. You're right, Philly. Vince lives in a bubble. He does. And he's got yes guys in his ear. Yes, Vince. You got it, Vince. Yes, Vince. Whatever you want, Vince. It's time to give the keys to the car. It's like the parent teaching the kid how to drive. Nervous about giving him the keys to the car. Giving him the keys to the kingdom. That's what it is. It's not, you know, it's a lot of the content is not for us anymore. And I get that too. So we'll just look for things that we like and then shit on the rest of it. Same thing with TNA. Or Ring of Honor, or Chikara, or PWG, or any of your local independent feds, wherever you live in the world. Because not every place is perfect, okay? But it's better than what you're seeing on TV. Sorry, I could watch an indie show and not fast forward through it. I'm going to get wrestling. I may not get all the stories I want, but it evens out. Like, if Raw had good wrestling on most of the time, because it doesn't, maybe I won't be so hard on myself or hard on what I'm talking about in terms of stories. But even the fucking wrestling isn't that good. Like, when I'm putting women's wrestling over, you know the wrestling's not that good. They try to get a core audience. They don't get the core audience. They're trying to reach the kids. They're not reaching the kids. They get tweeners and the merch sells. Okay? The action figures sell. The video games sell. The digital content is genius. Vince saw this years ago with the on-demand stuff and cable. And now the network, it's the wave of the future. Again, visionary, but you're out of touch. I want to cue up the whole note song right now and just play the whole thing because he's really out of touch. And that's pretty much where I am with it. Am I excited for SummerSlam? Always excited for SummerSlam. I have a personal connection to SummerSlam. I was at the first one. I was at the 10th one or the 9th one. I was at, SummerSlam is a big deal for me, you know. The Big Four are a big deal to me. Every year we bought Survivor Series and Mania and the Rumble and SummerSlam. Every year. It's a party. We're going to have a party on the 23rd. We're going to have an eating contest on the 23rd. We're going to have people throwing up, yelling, screaming, carrying on. And you can only hope that it's a good show. If not, I spent my time wisely with friends and family. I'm always blessed. I get that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not worried about me. It's not going to make or break me, but, you know, it's sad that wrestling is the lost art and it's all entertainment. I love telling stories about my childhood and my ties with wrestling. I love telling my son and my family and friends. And when I do the show here, I tell people. And it's like, you know, it's a part of me. I'm not one of those guys that I mentioned this to already. I've never given it up. I've never walked away from it. No matter how bad my life was, no matter. I was in dire straits, like bottom of the barrel, like to the brink of doing things that probably most people wouldn't even dream of doing. And I would find a half hour here, 20 minutes there to watch a videotape of wrestling or something that, or Raw or Nitro or whatever it was at that time. Or go to an indie show, because indies were really big in the Northeast when I was a kid. Still is now, but better than ever. And that's the thing. The talent is better. Like, you will never get bored watching NXT. Because the kids hustle. It's like watching a college football game. You're going to see a good game because the kids want to make it to the big dance. So, I looked forward to, like, Saturday night's main event. I looked forward to, you know, the... I even drank the Kool-Aid in the early 2000s with the tribute to the troop shit. Because I was such an emotional wreck after 9/11 that anything patriotic sparked my interest. You know? I didn't wear the fucking red, white, and blue outfits like Lex Luger did. And I didn't carry on about my country, but I was in a really bad state being a responder and all the nonsense and politics and nonsense. But when they did the tribute to the troops, I was like, I'm all about it. That's cool. You know, they're policing a fucking war. We shouldn't even be there. That's another podcast. But while you're there, enjoy wrestling. You know? And it sucks. It really does. It sucks. It sucks because I am... My glass is always half full when it comes to wrestling, no matter how bad it gets. And I get shit for that constantly. You can talk to Shining Woods Eddie about that. I get shit for it all the time. I know you like wrestling, Phil. I know, you know, you always like the, you know, even when it's bad on TV, but, you know, there's always that but. And I get the point. I get it. I'm not ignorant. I'm really not. I'm not as naive as everybody thinks sometimes. I just wait for something good to happen. Like for my Mets, I want they're right there. They got the pitching, but there's no hitting. You know, they're right there. Like my Vikings, they have the running back, but they don't have a quarterback. They're right there. You know, my Knicks. Well, the Knicks are fucking terrible, but they need everything. But I just made two examples of they're right there. So you're waiting for that big thing. You want to be there, front row. You want to be in front of your TV. You want to be there when the Jeff Jarrett quote-unquote boom happens. Which, by the way, they're taping their first TV shows tonight. They don't have a TV contract, but they're taping for TV. So, hope that all works out for them. Because I want more wrestling on TV. Access, re-up their New Japan contract? Good. More wrestling. More wrestling, more gooder. Good is not a word, but on this show it is. Ring the bell. Take a swig of the hooch. I gotta clean this man cave. This is fucking ridiculous. But anyway. So that's pretty much it where I've been with that. You hope for something good to happen. And, you know, you hope SummerSlam is good. And you hope the rest of the summer works out. And hopefully it's a turnaround. And that's pretty much it, man. In other news, I was going to Philatorial about, I just like local stuff here. Big debate here lately is fast food industry people fought diligently for a pay raise, and they're getting like they're getting that $15 an hour raise, and people are losing their shit. And I got into it, not into it, but I had got into a discussion with Joey Numbers from Wrestling Soup. He's like, well, you know, people should fight, you know, you guys should fight for your salary wage. Because I told him it took me fucking a decade to get top pay, you know. And he was like, well, people in New York are assholes. And I was like, well, we're not really assholes. It's just that they, you know, it's the politics involved in the whole thing is that there's no camaraderie. You know, people are divided so much because after 1996, when the Emergency Medical Services was its own entity, they merged with the fire department, and the city made the fucking merge, which meant more money, and that's when it took the shit, you know? So I don't care if people, if Burger King and McDonald's guys make $15 an hour. I really don't. I just feel like, you know, my industry should be recognized because, you know, the more you guys keep filling your bodies with the crap, I'm going to go to your house and resuscitate you, you know? And there's a lot of cities that are in the country that have low wage. And I don't understand. I never understood why this industry doesn't unite like the fast food industry. And the listen, it's not just back in the day, if you worked in a fast food joint, you were a college kid, you were a high school kid. Now it's the immigrants that come here. It's single parents or, you know, even convicted people who can't get regular jobs. They get those kind of jobs. So it's not just college kids and high school kids anymore. It's fucking adults that are working in these places, and they have to make a living. I get it. The cost of living, I think people should get a raise every time the cost of living goes up, you know, but that's just me. So I wasn't like, I wasn't against them making money. I just thought that my and listen, I fought for wages, man. I signed my petitions. I went to rallies up in Albany, which is our state capital. I've done all that bullshit, you know, but I'm just one of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that won't, you know. You know, listen, I want everybody to make money. I want everybody to make money. I grew up fucking poor, okay? I won't knock anybody else's hustle. I have an uncle who's a police officer. He will not talk to me to this day because I advocated for a person who sold drugs. Because the person had to sell drugs to feed his kids, and he was in a bad spot, couldn't get a job, and I knew the guy, and I was friends with him. I don't condone it. I never did drugs in my life. I sniffed airplane glue in junior high school. I drank like a fish, but I never did drugs. You know, and I advocated for this kid. I'm like, you know what? If that's what he's got to do to make money, let him. He's, you know, and I probably was wrong about it, but I lost a relative over it, who was a police officer. So I'm conflicted, you know, and politics suck here, you know, and it's I'm a registered independent, and I feel like, you know, here in New York, it's you know, even if I move somewhere else, it's like, you know, in the country, it's like people tell you, well, if you move, it's the same shit. Well, yeah, it might be, but the cost of living is a little different, you know. But I won't knock anybody else's hustle. Never. You do what you got to do to make money. That's how you're supposed to survive. That's how I was brought up. Okay? My mom hustled. My mom was a hustler. When rappers talk about hustling, they were talking about my mother. Single mom, eighth grade education, three kids, fucking hustled. Public assistance was not cutting it. We got it. We got the cheese and the cereal and the WIC checks and all that nonsense. But my mom knew that she needed to provide. She knew that we had to be taken care of, and she hustled. So she ran numbers at the bingo hall. She took office jobs. She took a catering. She worked every weekend for 20 years at a catering hall as a bartender for weddings and parties and shit. Hustled. That's what a hustler does. Rappers talk about it. My mom, God bless her. Make that money. Handle your business. Jay-Z used to rap about it. You don't knock another man's hustle. My dad was saying that way before Jay-Z was. Way before Jay-Z was. I'm blessed. And I'm blessed because I thank God every day that I found something I liked, did it for free, was good at it, and decided to make a living out of it because I figured, you know, because that was another argument too. Well, you know, you could go to school and you could get a degree. Okay. Well, I make as much now as somebody with an associate's degree and almost a bachelor's degree. And that's with a high school education. High school diploma. Okay? Am I bragging? No. Did I bust my fucking ass to get it? Absolutely I did. I'm proud of what I did. Can I do more? I am doing more. I'm always taking classes. I just became an instructor. I could teach CPR now. So I'll get a side hustle doing that, making some cash. You know, I'm doing dispatching now. I could dispatch. You know what? Every day I'm learning. I'm absorbing. Even doing this, I've made friends all over the world. You learn. You talk to people. You learn about different cultures, different ways of life, and you respect everybody. You take care of everybody. That's a goal in life. We're all, you know, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all have feelings. We all go through trials and tribulations. But at the end of the day, it's what you do before you go to sleep at night. Every day, you need to do something significant. Make a difference. I'm not saying you have to go and save the world. I'm not saying you have to go, you know, go save a baby from a burning building. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, do any of that shit. You have to take yourself, humble yourself, put yourself in somebody else's shoes, and know that somebody else always has it worse than you do. And that if you work hard, you could play harder, and you could just, every day above ground is a better day. And it's really, and probably for me, the hardest thing about that is just to stay focused and to, you know, everybody has, I mean, you go through self-doubt and depression, shit like that. But like you, the hardest thing for me was convincing myself that I was good enough to do certain things in my life. And I see it on social, and that's the thing too, man. And we'll get into Hulk Hogan in a few minutes because Hogan is iconic. You talk about pop culture and wrestling, you know, and for him to publicly say something like that the way he did, and we'll get into that in a few minutes after the break, but, like, you know, social media and the media itself will destroy anything and blow everything out of proportion. Like, even on social media, people who don't know me will take something I said out of context. Not because they don't like me or because you know, because they don't know what they don't hear my tone of voice. They don't see where I'm talking or hear where I'm talking. They don't know. You know? And vice versa. I see things on the computer. I'm like, how can they say that? Or if I know the person, oh, that's just so-and-so. They say that all the time. And it's true. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. And my wife just landed. So I get to see my baby girl. Finally. Finally. In a little while. You know? You're right, Kid Human. Colin Cowherd made a remark about Dominicans in baseball, that they're not that intelligent. He was right, but the way he said it, because a lot of Dominican guys were getting drafted when they were like 12 and 13 years old, and fucking they didn't get an education. You know, they were poor. So they're good at baseball. They play baseball all year round. They get drafted, and they're making millions. And God bless them. They should. If you can do it, do it. But the way he said it, he sounded like Archie Bunker. You can't do that. Choose your words wisely. Choose your words wisely. All right. I've babbled enough. Let me take a quick break. Come back. We'll take some calls. Get into some Hulk Hogan news. And hopefully I get laid tonight. Because I haven't gotten laid in a long time. So you have to root for me, all right? Let's do this. Let me cue up my music. There we go. Let me get that. I'm going to buy a soundboard, I promise. One day, I promise. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. 718-878-6394 will be the number. 718-878-6394. It's in the chat room. Or you want to add me on Skype, it's Throwbacks and Awfulness. And I'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Can I get one of those woo tickets?
Excuse me?
One of those woo tickets.
It's not woo, it's woo!
Woo!
Woo! Introducing Ric Flair's new woo! Scratch-off ticket for the North Carolina Educational Lottery with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say, woo!
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 No matter where you are, with bum rustlers, it's just like being in a wrestling ring. With Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
One, two, three, pin!
Wherever you are, it's like real wrestling action. With Junkyard Dog and Ball Ball. Bum rustle anywhere with Hulk and the Iron Sheik.
Okay, kids, back to class.
Rustle anywhere with wrestling superstars, bum rustlers, new from LJN.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing. As
played that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah.
Stop now. Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe!
Now he
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
That was all right. So disrespectful. Alright, nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help
Ike. No, you did it! Yo, you always do it!
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on rantemradio.com.
This is Matt from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and when you're done with this episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Dave, I bring a body bag to a Hotel Powers. Head on over to shiningwizards.com, check out the latest from us. We will either make you hate us or make you love us. If that makes sense, shiningwizards.com.
Don't. Here's what I want you all to do for me.
Bang! Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the bay.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the Frank Guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist. Preach to teach the
cause some they never had this.
Number one. Never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yes, was the start of my last jam. So here it is again, another death jam.
But since I gave you all of
that's right.
That I knew
don't
you
believe
lacked,
the hype.
Consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope.
That's right. 718-878-6394. Skype, Throwbacks and Awfulness, one word. Get your time in now, bitches. Welcome back, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, rantemradio.com, Rant Entertainment Media. don't believe the hype. See, 1988, Chuck D was telling you, don't believe the media, don't believe the hype. The revolution will not be televised. The man was a fucking visionary. And man, don't believe the hype. All right, so. All right, Flavor Flav, let me get you off there. All right. All right. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening.
What's up, Philly?
Scotty, what's going on?
Same old, just another night in paradise.
Another night in paradise. Welcome to the show. Now, if anybody of you living under a rock, National Enquirer dropped the exclusive Hulk Hogan's N-word racist rants caught on tape. Foul, disgusting tirade leaks. Oh, this is, hold on a second. And he finally joins us, ladies and gentlemen, Felonious Punk on the air. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, my man. How you keeping?
I'm keeping all right, man. Doing it, getting down with the get down. Surfer, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'll be better.
What's up, bro?
Everybody's on. This is fantastic. All right.
Gang's all here.
We have been doing this since, what, 9 o'clock this morning, our time, Philly? I think, you know, there's a lot of, like, it's both sides. A lot of animosity. And there's a lot of love for the orange and, I'm sorry, the red and yellow. You know, it's like it's, I don't know, it's orange, I mean spray on tan, but. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm not really surprised, but I'm not really all that hung up about it either. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. I get the feeling. There's like a kind of sense of celebration that seems to be going across the internet with all this. You know, it's like, yes, we fucking got him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a bad like 007 movie, you know?
Yeah, it is a bit.
It's not even... I don't want to say it's not fair, but, you know, Well, I'm sorry, server. Go ahead.
A lot of fans today didn't grow up when Hogan was in his prime, and they always saw him was this older guy that seemed like he was preventing other people from getting over that they wanted to root for. So, that, you know, there's a section of the fandom that resents Hulk Hogan and always.
I'd take that further and say there's a large section of the fans now who pretty much don't remember him wrestling at all beyond like the Mr. America thing, and all they know really about Hogan now is from shoot interviews and stuff, and everyone's saying what a dick he was.
Pretty much.
To kind of extend what you said, Surfer, you know, I'd take it further.
Surfer, let me ask you, because right now at the current phone call, you're the only brother on the panel. I'm sure Tony C's going to chime in a minute.
Yeah, and Tony C, don't worry, my friend. It gets better.
Let me ask you something. And we're friends. We've been friends for like 2 years now. Be honest with me. And I would ask you so off the air, too. You know, I'm a pretty straight shooter when it comes to stuff like this. Were you initially offended by the statements? Or did you just like, whatever, it's Hulk Hogan, so whatever? Did you just blow it off because he's a celebrity?
Well, I haven't heard them in like the places I've gone to. They haven't put the full thing up for me to actually read it. So I'm going to hold off judgment on that. I'm not going to, you know, lose my mind over this. I mean, fuck it.
Do you want me to look that up now while you chat? I can look that up for you if you like.
Well, I mean, the audio or the written?
The transcript.
Well, I have some of the transcripts here.
Because I got to be honest, he goes pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, he goes on to say that, he goes, and I quote, "I guess we're all a little racist." And
speak for yourself.
Yeah, he just puts all of us under the blanket. Yeah, we're all racist. He goes, and meaning, speaking of his daughter Brooke, she's making some really, really bad decisions. My daughter Brooke jumped sides on me. I spent $2 to $3 million on her music career. I've done everything like a jackass for her. The bitter bodybuilder, they call him the bitter bodybuilder. That's awesome. He's 61 years old. The one option Brooke had, Brooke's career besides me, was to sell Beach Records. At one point, Hogan says, how a black billionaire guy offered to fund her music career. He also attempts to use bizarre twisted logic in an attempt to justify his bigotry at the man. He goes, and I quote, "I don't know if Brooke was fucking the black guy's son, or I don't have double standards, wink, wink. I'm a racist to a point, effing blah, blah, blah. When it comes to nice people and shit, whatever." Then in a tirade, the racism embarrassments suffered by Mel Gibson, Dog the Bounty Hunter, Hulk then says, I'd rather, if she was going to F some N, I'd rather have her marry an 8-foot-tall N worth $100 million like a basketball player. And then he says again, I guess we're all a little racist, effing N. And that's just what the National Enquirer, because National Enquirer broke the story. It's a rag paper, but with stuff like this, it was on Fox News, CNN,
it's been on The Independent over here, it's been in the BBC.
Listen, this is not like my great-grandmother who came off the boat and she was like a little squeamish when they came on to her, when they came on her block or whatever it was. When we grew up in a predominantly black and Hispanic area, even when she first moved to the country, it was pretty bad in that area. But like, you know, it wasn't like that. She didn't carry on like that. She just didn't know the culture. She didn't have any respect for the culture because she was naive. She was ignorant. You know, she was an immigrant. She didn't want to learn. She was too ignorant. You know, this is an iconic public figure, an entertainer, and a lot of heroes to a lot of our friends growing up.
And people know him that aren't even into wrestling. He's a known name.
First mainstream wrestler to cross over to, you know, the mainstream. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Like, you know, him coming to the top made wrestling more acceptable to people that didn't get into it back in the day.
Yeah, I mentioned in the opening with the whole pop culture thing.
I wonder what Mr. T thinks of this.
He's too worried about his mama. Leave him alone.
Why wait 8 years to bring this out?
That's the thing, man. I don't understand. And then according to his lawyer, he actually quit before they fired him to avoid embarrassment. How are you avoiding embarrassment when it's all over the world?
Well, listen, somebody I know posted online, like, you know, why didn't they fire him 8 years ago? And I had to point out, one, they didn't have a network to sell 8 years ago, and two, he wasn't with the WWE 8 years ago, so
right.
It didn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but Had this came out 8 years ago, he would have been somebody else's problem.
Well, this is all like at the end of the sex tape, isn't it, with Bubba Love Sponge's wife?
Yeah,
I've got a kind of theory around this that I imagine it being possible that the main reason he went to sue them in the first place and have the whole thing shut down was because he knew that this was at the end of the tape and that hadn't come out yet. And I think that him keeping a lid on it was probably a large clause in his contract, in him being employed with WWE. And the second it came out, they shit canned him. You know, it was all off WWE before it had even been leaked. It had all gone from WWE.com. All of his merch was gone. You know.
Yeah, you guys.
It all happened way too quickly for WWE not to be, you know, at least aware that it was out there.
Yeah, these stories couldn't come up on the timeline quicker. Like my battery was dead, you know, like by midday, and you know, again, I'm not. What's that, Scotty?
I'd say I'm scrolling through my phone at work saying like AA, felonious plug, everything was just like everybody posted about it.
Because like, I put the
straight posts.
Yeah, I put the thread up, and then Philly chimed in on mine. AA was doing like triple duty. He was messaging me he was Facebooking me on an instant message, and then he was putting it up on the Rampage, and then you know, he was replying to our stuff on our page. So it was like It was, it's a big deal. And then I had people who were not even wrestling fans putting stuff on my page or messaging me, hey, what's going on with Hulk Hogan? What's going on with Hulk Hogan? I don't know. I'll find out. I mean, I was hoping we'd have some more more stuff by the time, you know, the show started tonight. But I'm sure they'll have the, they're going to hold off just to have more headlines. And you know what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of me is angry because he would say something like that, you know. And part of me is like, you know what? I'm not surprised, you know, because he's had this this persona of being a two-faced behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like with people, like, you know, when you talk to, like, we were talking to certain, like the photographer guy from Tom Buchanan, and he mentioned a bunch of guys, and he never even got near Hulk Hogan because, I mean, and even when he did, it was like a, you know, whatever, but he was untouchable. You know, like, there's only certain people can go near him. He was like a Michael Jackson type back in the day. You know, it was like, it's that kind of fun. And mm-hmm. I can't. Part of me is like, I feel bad for the people who rooted for him growing up because I hated him growing up. I was a bad guy, Mark. You guys all know that. So for me, I'm like, ah, whatever. I can care less. But he wasn't one of my favorites. But I respect what he did in the business.
So when he became Hulkamania, you hated him, right?
Oh.
Well, I hated him pre-Hulkamania because he was just like the worst heel that came through the pike back in the late 70s.
Yeah, well, yeah. He had a good mouthpiece.
He was the best of his era.
Yes and no. I mean, that's a nice comparison, too, and that's another podcast. But, I think John Cena has put himself – we talked about him backing himself into a corner. At least Hogan had more creative control over his character, hence the whole thing why he reinvented himself, hence the reason why the industry changed again in the mid-90s. See, they can't do that with Cena, you know? And which, I don't know why, but, I know why, but I kind of, like, don't know, because they could have turned him heel, they could have did something better with him, but they didn't, you know? Because, I don't know, I just...
Because of all the merchandise he would sell, they would lose.
Hogan was doing the same thing, man. Hogan was selling the shirts and the dolls and the foam fingers too. It's like I've seen him get some more shirts now because it's the culture to have 1,700 John Cena colored T-shirts. You know, Hogan only had two.
Well, it's the culture to indulge your kids.
How long was Hogan into his career when he made the turn? Almost 20 years.
Yeah, but dude, Cena's getting to that point now, almost.
Yeah, I mean, they could still do it with him and try and... But, I mean, I think they missed the boat with it, personally, but they could still do it.
So, here's my question to you guys. I'm glad you guys are either all around my age or older. Do you guys give him a pass? Or, like, forgive and forget? Or... forgive him and not forget him and don't put him on TV anymore. They took him out of the video game already. Like Phil said before, they pulled all the merch off the .com. Like, do you give him a pass?
No.
Not.
Well, he has to go into the Mel Gibson retirement home for a while.
And exactly.
Then, you know, give him a little time and people can forgive him and he shows some remorse, which he's been saying, you know, he's sorry about it, but just give it some time and people will get over it.
I mean, he's more.
Did you see his apology though?
No, I haven't. But
it's just your typical lawyers cobbled together. Lawyer and marketing team have got together and, you know, shoved together a press release. It's the most disingenuous, hollow apology.
Now, unless, like, with Mel Gibson, you get, like, a second and a third, you know, tape come out where this is, like, you know, a different time, different year, and he's putting out even more vile stuff, then you know, you can banish him forever.
Well, I have heard a rumor that there's more sex tapes coming. That's something we can all look forward to.
That's the thing. Who wants to see that?
I can't give him a pass because in this day and age, it always gets out. You have to be careful. You can't say stupid things like that. You can't say things that are going to be taken out of context like Cowherd when you cut off the last 30 seconds of his rant, which summarized what he said. You can't do that. You can't. They can pick and choose and cut it out. It's been done to a million people. You can't give him a pass. He's got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. You know, on a real small and minute scale, the stuff that we do on here, like I tell you guys all the time, I got dudes, guys and girls quoting me and Dave on Twitter. And we're not saying anything outlandish and shit, but even when Dave is tongue-in-cheek a lot of times, or when I'm tongue-in-cheek, like, it's tongue-in-cheek and it's not... These weren't blanket statements, man. This was, like, hardcore. Like, he went in, as they say in the street. He went in on he sounded like a straight-up racist. I mean, Cowherd's thing was a little bit more forgivable because I've said stuff like that, but not in that context. You know,
there's a kind of a gray area there,
right?
From what I mean, I only know what you said about the situation, but there's almost an explanation there for why he said what he said,
right?
You know,
yeah.
In this instance, no, it's just outright prejudice. He's just outright saying I don't like a specific race of people. He says, I am racist.
Yeah.
You can't fucking get around. Sorry. Yeah, you can't get around that. He says twice, I'm racist.
Yeah, you can't be a little racist. There's no such thing.
Not that long. You know? This came out like in the early 80s. And you say, well, he says, well, you know, that was a long time ago. I've changed. But you go back to 2008. I mean, that's not that long ago. I'm sorry. I mean.
Listen, whether it's 8, 10, or 20 years ago, to tell me, you tell somebody you're a little racist, there's really no such thing.
No.
And I spoke about this I was talking about this with Rage about something else on Facebook the other day, and I said to him, like, you know, hate is a really bad word, because especially when you mix it with stuff like this, too. I mentioned that to him on the side. I'm like, listen, there's no turning back from that. And it's really you're gonna have to sell me on the fact that you can't sell this though. You can't tell me that all right. Well, everybody's a little racist. No, everybody's a little bit prejudiced about stuff they don't know about. Like if you go to another country and you don't know the culture, you don't know your way around, you're gonna be a bit prejudiced and be defensive against certain things until you find yourself comfortable with it. Or even if you go to a new place where you live or somewhere, that there's a difference. You could be a little prejudiced about certain things. You can't be a racist. It's just
you could even say that, you know, if you're in that situation, you're not aware of cultures and you're not, you know, you can innocently fumble into making a faux pas, as it were, like that fella you were talking about before.
Yeah. And let me tell you something else. A lot of guys on Facebook today were like, well, what about when Ole Anderson did it? Ole Anderson's a racist.
In the 70s.
Ole Anderson. And look what happened in the 80s with Donahue, with Thunderbolt Patterson. The poor guys on that panel with everybody else, with Dr. D. David Schultz. Racist. Straight up racist. There's no other way around it. You know? And then, Vince is a racist. Look at all the characters he had. Samba Simba and blah, and all those other... Listen, no, he wasn't racist. Not being racist. It was just... It's a difference. You're playing a character on TV. You know, he didn't hate Tony Atlas to put him in an African war dance suit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that kind of party, you know?
But in the WWE, they do like to play up a lot of stereotypes, you know?
That's more to do with a 70-year-old man at the wheel.
Yeah, it's entertainment.
That's the world he grew up in. That's the world he lives in.
Yeah.
Like when I see,
it's not right, but there it is.
When I see a new black wrestler show up and he has to dance down to the ring all the time, I have to wonder, like, who's making that decision? Like, why can't he just walk down like everybody else? You know, you don't have to jive and shuffle just because it's a black athlete.
Right.
I mean, one or two, you could say, okay, but when there's a pattern. Now, I'm not saying Vince is, you know, but... He could change the way he does things, and that's probably because he is old.
So inadvertently, you're saying that they treat African American wrestlers differently.
No, I'm saying they don't see anything wrong in some of the gimmicks they give them.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Well, he has a very narrow view of different ethnic groups and race. So when he sees black person, he sees dancing, shucking and jiving. You know, that's where his brain goes when he sees. So, you know, he's probably incredibly prejudiced. He's a 70-year-old man.
It's true. Ladies and gentlemen, our resident Hulkamaniac ran EM Zone, Mr. Tony C. How are you, sir?
It'll get better, Tony.
What the heck, man? Well, there's so many other things going on in this world. Hulk Hogan.
Well, listen,
calling somebody the N-word.
The tragedy in Louisiana didn't break the internet yesterday. You know,
exactly.
Which is sad because it should have, but it didn't. You know,
they rather sit around and talk, focus on Hulk Hogan calling somebody a name.
Well, do you want a hug? I mean.
Oh no!
Okay.
I mean, I don't need a hug.
You texted me. You said you want to come on and you want to defend. And I. You know what? You're not the only one to defend him today. A lot of people stepped up to him today. I believe Dennis Rodman stepped up for him today, which is no prize, but whatever. That's how I feel. I'm out.
Virgil has as well.
Virgil. Don't get me started. That guy. Look, and listen. And
anybody. Let me
and Mick Foley.
Saying
the guy was racist. There's a difference between making an ignorant comment and being a racist.
Saying that
the episode of the Jeffersons, when the guy told him, when the son told the guy, told his dad that George Jefferson saved his life, and he said, you should have let me die. That's a racist.
That episode was on last week, the KKK meeting.
Exactly.
I watched that.
Hulk Hogan just made an ignorant comment. It happens, man. Sometimes
over
you say stuff.
And over.
He said he was racist, Tony.
He said the words. He said
I'm
racist.
A racist twice.
But that's just ignorant. That's an ignorant comment.
No, it's not. It's saying you're a racist,
dude,
Tony.
Tony. And then he said, Tony. And
if
then
you're
he said,
racist, man.
But Tony, he said we're all a little bit racist.
Phil, it's just an ignorant comment. He don't even know what a racist is. At 61 years old, when you are a racist, man, those white supremacists, Ku Klux Klan, those are racist. But they don't even want to breathe the same air as a brother like myself or Surfer or Lee or Rage.
Well, I'm a brother. Didn't Lee draft me? So I'm officially a brother now, right?
Exactly, so a brother like yourself.
Yeah, right. Bro. Exactly.
Man, that's
waist down. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Carry on.
But bottom line, that is a racist, man. That he just made an ignorant comment. He don't know, understand what a racist is.
All right. So now I'm gonna follow that with this question. Now, are you giving him a pass because it's him saying it, or if one of us but that's the thing, man.
Phil. Any real racist person, I'm telling you, man, we've, as a black man, you read the books, you've seen what goes on, what happened to our people over the years. You understand what real racism is, okay? If somebody is willing to deal with the Dennis Rodman, even a Tony Atlas or a Virgil, and give them opportunities to make money, you're not a racist, man. I'm sorry. Racism to me and my book, where I come from, you don't want to breathe the same. You don't believe I'm your equal, no way, shape, or form. I can never be on your level. You don't want to help me. If I was on fire, you wouldn't piss on me. That's what I'm saying.
Don't take this the wrong way about it. It's just a purpose. He's okay as long as he's not burning crosses on your lawn.
No. He just made an ignorant statement, man. It happened. If
he would have said, we're all racist, I'm racist, I could believe it. But when you say F and N word three times in a statement,
that's just ignorant, Scott. I understand how you're looking at it.
Yeah, fuck that, man.
I mentioned,
as a white person, you fucking know. In fact, as a white person of his years, because people my age and under have a very different association to that word, but people his fucking age have a very clear association to that word, okay, that word is a word a white man should never say. And it's still the case.
Yeah,
but I can let it slide when it pervades itself so much in culture in a very different context. I can kind of let that slide.
Yeah, you see, right? that's
Hulk
where
Hulk Hogan is an older gentleman. He knows he knew the intent of that word when he chose to use that word.
But Punk, what I'm saying to you is, it was an ignorant statement. It wasn't well thought out. If he, I can tell you right now, if he can go back, he would. Anybody in that spot that's not a real racist, they will take it back because they don't understand what like my whole point is, man.
Well, I'm glad
real racists, man. They won't come near us, man. They fear.
They won't
even mention us in the same breath. He wouldn't even been talking that way. It would have been straight N-word this, N-word that, monkey this. He never said anything. That he just made that one comment.
I'm kind of glad you're taking that stance, and there's a good cop, bad cop kind of feel to that. Because now I want to get into the N-word. And you know, I've spoken about this on this show, on Will's show. As early as 48 hours ago, I was referred to as the N-word, but not the ER, it's the DA.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people take that derogatory. You know, a lot of people, like, how can you let... people have said this to me, how do you let somebody talk to you about that? I had a 55-year-old grown-ass paramedic brother from Queens come up to me the other day, give me the pound, the handshake, and he was like, "What up, my nigga?" And I was like, "All right, what's going on?" And since this man said it on his own network. And I played, and in the beginning of the show, I played.
Yeah, you played it.
I played everybody. You know why? Because since 1985, that's who I was to all my friends, even some of my family, because my family, a few of my family members married interracially. So I have black and Hispanic cousins. I have nieces and nephews who are half African American. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the thing about that word in my generation, I don't know about surf, but in my generation coming up, it's about if you say the G-E-R, the double G-E-R, and who says it, and you have to look at how it's being used.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
And now I'm going to ask you this.
It's a place and time.
And I'm glad you're saying that, because I'm going to ask you this now. Now, we could do this to, I'm not saying me, but you could do that to me or whatever, and I'm cool with it because it's what I'm used to, where I grew up and where you grew up, even to the point with Surfer, you know? And Scott, too, because Scott and I grew up together in the neighboring neighborhoods. But here's my question. You go to a fucking a church picnic, okay, or a function where there's older people, and not a mixed crowd, but let's say predominantly it's African-American. Let's say it's like a retreat or something, or a party, or just a regular party, and where there's older folks. I don't see anybody conducting it like that. I hear it on a bus. I hear it on a train. I hear it at work. I hear it in the stores. I don't hear it when there's older people around. You know? So I feel like that word has reached a point where it's the social acceptance is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So,
but it's the vibe.
Hold on a second.
If I'm at work, Phil, am I a subordinate?
Hello. I'm sorry about that, fellas. I hit the wrong button. Yeah, Tony, finish your point.
No, you okay? You put.
Yeah. All right, somebody's heavy breathing on it.
But at the same time, it was just ignorant. he doesn't understand what being a racist is. That's just my feeling. Because, like I said, come living here in the back, here in Florida, outside of Central Florida, there's certain parts, man, we couldn't go to. You see what I'm saying? Because they had real racist folk. Middle school, I went to middle school with real racist people. With the Confederate flag belts, belt buckles, cowboy boots. Didn't, you know, we had to fight. You
good
know
old,
what I mean?
Yeah, they're good old boys. I get it.
Exactly, because yeah. There was vileness behind how they didn't want to be on the same campus as us. You feel me? So
right. Hold on. Matt was trying to call in, but Matt was trying to call in. Matt Squires. Matt, your connection was like real deep and heavy and loud. So just get to a place where you're not giving me a phone sex operating voice, and we'll get on. But I see your point, dude. I get it. I just feel like
this could have been anybody, Phil, not just Hogan. It could have been.
But
Lex
it's not
Luger.
Just anybody,
it
dude. It's
I can't deny that.
But it's
Blair,
not right. Yeah,
anybody.
But it's not just anybody. It's Hulk Hogan, man. It's that's.
But you got to look at how can he be racist and he helps so many other people get money and do things, establish themselves in the business.
Help people get money doesn't stop you from
but surfer,
but
you
know,
when
you
it's
are,
not like it's not like and out the deal
you don't
there either.
Deal with no, when you don't want to deal with no thing, other than what you are.
There's different levels to it, Tony. Yeah. There's different.
But admit prejudice. That's what I think he really, he's so ignorant to what he was saying. He really meant prejudice. Now, prejudice and racism, those are two different things.
I said that before. That was my point before. Like, like my great grandmother, you know, she moved to North Brooklyn.
I think the more appropriate word would be bigot. I mean, yeah. Racism is not necessarily, you know, calling me names. That's more of a system of keeping me back from achieving what I need to achieve in this life, in this world. Bigotry, that's a different subject altogether. Now, he may not be a full-on bigot, but, you know, he grew up in an era where some of that seeped into him, and for some reason it seeped out of him back in 2008.
Well, that's my point. Is it like
it's known better.
So it's socially accepted because of what it's because of the generation he grew up in?
No.
I can't tell you how many patients I transported patients that wouldn't let me touch them because I was white. See what I'm saying? Because of the cultural difference. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, with the progression of knowing better, I mean, I can't necessarily accept, okay, because you grew up in the 50s. And it was okay. We in 2015. If you're still around.
But ignorance has no age limit, surfer. It's people
who know that. Yeah. But
old, 90, 70, 80 years old, they still do ignorant stuff.
Let's bring on Matt. Matt Squires. What's up, homie?
How you guys doing? I heard Hogan has problems with Harlem Heat.
Exactly.
What's going on?
And they said they would come for him first, and then he coming back.
You know, we laugh at that Harlem Heat skit all the time, but I think that just didn't. He didn't mean to actually say that. You can tell.
You see his face, of course.
Like he was in the moment.
Yeah, he got caught up.
But I just started listening, and I don't know if you guys went over this already or not. But what happens when he dies? Does this all get forgotten?
Well, that would be forgotten before.
You can't forget what he did for the business. No matter, you know, no matter what.
That's what I'm saying.
No matter what they did, no matter what, you know, this is separate from wrestling. They weren't even talking about wrestling.
Is it a temporary ban then? Because you know the minute he dies, it's going to be this grandioso celebration and, you know, he may have had his problems, but he was the greatest of all time, and
battled his demons.
It's a double standard for me. And then another thing, you know, because I was kind of just because my wife, she thinks all this wrestling stuff's foolishness, you know, and I kind of just told her what was going on, and she was just kind of like, you know, that's his private life. So it's like, where do we draw the line? And moving into people's private lives, because if we looked at all of these people, if we looked at our sports stars and we looked at all these people's lives and we really saw who they are, we probably wouldn't like most of the people anyways. Mm-hmm. They would either be racists or bigots.
Yeah, musicians too.
Have
man.
Pictures of kids on their computers. I mean, we don't know nothing about these people. All we do is idolize and worship the things we see on our TVs and when they perform in front of us. So where do we draw the line? Do we keep it there? Or do we start
That's what you do.
Interpreting their private lives? Because from far as I know, that like conversation him. Was never supposed to be let out. So how mm-hmm. far do we go as a society in accepting, do we just beloved the characters on TV? And is there a separation between that and their private lives? Or do we have to take them all in at whole?
But Matt, this is the thing. If you are on TV and you portray yourself as one way, and as a fan, you become a fan of that person because you think, just you know, you think Hulk Hogan, he's for the people, he's for me, and mm-hmm. then you find out in his private life he's saying something different. That's a little. That's a lot.
What are you doing? But Surfer, what?
Yeah,
are you
but
doing
you know what? At
TV?
The end of the day, Surfer, Superman is some guy from England. But on the movie screen, he's portrayed as some kid from Kansas.
What?
So, I mean, where do you draw the line? Because you can do that with any aspect, with anybody.
Why you got to bring up
you look at
all the comic book roles. I mean, that's bothering me as it is.
Well, wait a minute. You know what? And I'll piggyback that, Surfer, because Matt almost has a good point. Because Superman.
Thanks.
No. Let me finish. That sounds facetious. I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to sound facetious. Superman's an alien. Okay.
Yep.
Who comes to this world, and he's accepted because of all the miraculous things he could do. But there are some people,
and he was white.
Yeah, he was white too. and he lived in fucking Kansas, graham cracker white. You know what I'm saying? Like corn fed. You know what I'm saying? That kind of shit. But like, think about it. But no, wait, hold on. But think about it though. He comes to this world. He gets raised by a family, like you know, middle America family in the cornfields, and he gets all these you know, hometown apple pie values, but he's still an alien. At the end of the day, he's still an alien. So people worship him, make statues about him, glorify him, but there's some people who hate him because he's an alien, Lex Luthor, who thinks that because. You know,
Surfer, what about this? Bruno is your all-time favorite, right?
No.
What if he's one of your idols? Bob Backlund, right?
He was one of the
best. Either one of those respected legends that came back from a different era. What about when they die, we found out that guy beat the crap out of his wife every night?
Well,
does that tarnish that legacy?
A little bit.
You know what? Actually, that's interesting, because...
where do we draw that
over
line?
Here, over here in the UK, we had there's a guy called Jimmy Savile. I don't know if he's kind of popped up on social media over there or anything, but there's this guy called Jimmy Savile, right? And Jimmy Savile used to be a radio. In fact, he used to be a wrestler very briefly, but he was a radio DJ in the 70s. He hosted a TV show where he granted wishes for kids. It was called Jim Will Fix It, and he used to run marathons every year for charities, and he became like this a national treasure. Everyone loved Jimmy Savile. He was like the nation's granddad. He died 2 years ago, and when he died, a whole bunch of people came out of the woodwork and said that they'd been abused by him when they were kids, okay? There was an investigation, right? And it turns out he was part of a paedophile ring that could very well be connected to the government and possibly the royal family. Wow. Overnight, Jimmy Savile went from being the national treasure to being, you know, vilified as a monster.
Hey, well,
quite rightly.
Hey, look at Bill Cosby. He raised me, and now he has to go away because... people know the truth about him.
Okay, that's a great thing. But does that nullify
how
beloved and great of a show and how great of a comedian that he is? Do you, It's like the whole Chris Benoit thing kind of all over again. So, yeah, he did a heinous act, but do we nullify and not watch any of those matches and boycott? Or do, you know, how far are you going to take this?
I'll tell you what, man.
Because at the end of the day, if you don't think that what Hogan said doesn't run rampant through everyone's lives and, you know, you just have that moment, you don't think for 1 minute when John Cena's at whatever store or driving down the street and a Hispanic person cuts him off, he doesn't go, oh, freaking beaner or something like that. It's a human nature.
Did John Cena
for everyone to be that way. And for 1 minute, if you think people aren't like that, especially people who are in high society and are on TV and entertainment, if you think that the characters they portray on the screen is what they do in real life, then you're a fool.
Well, if some bad things got out about John Cena, he would be going too. And that would make
nullify everything that he does? I mean, there has to be a line where you have to...
It's like
in baseball, you know? Everybody enjoyed it when everyone was hitting all them home runs, but then when it comes to find out that all these guys were roided up, oh, now everybody's up in arms. But nobody was up in arms when they knew about it, but they turned a blind eye to it.
See, I didn't, and I was hoping somebody would say that, and I was going to bring up the baseball thing because one of my direct heroes was Mark McGwire, and I had the poster. I had the starting lineup figure. I had the autographed baseball card. I had the 85 Olympic card. I was a Mark McGwire mark, I guess you want to call it that, okay? And when I found out that he lied about taking the steroids, I mean, I didn't give a shit about Bonds and Palmeiro and Clemens and Pettit and all those other guys. I wasn't a big fan of those guys anyway.
Bonds didn't take no steroids. They haven't proved it.
You're out of your mind. But McGwire legit broke my heart. And I had a conversation the other day about this with somebody. I said, you know, if a couple of my other heroes, like Griffey and Fred McGriff and Frank Thomas, and if I found out those guys and Mike Piazza, if they were all juicing, then I wouldn't be able to support them ever again.
You know, my thing about the steroids, right? It's not like it was one or two guys taking steroids. The whole league was taking it. That's where I...
But no, dude, not the whole league. Not the whole league.
Majority of the people in the league was doing it. Okay.
So then there you go with that. You can guarantee you can implement that same thing with what Hogan said.
But they
that locker room.
Listen, they want to pin it on a few people and say, "Well, these were the bag eggs." But a lot of people was doing it. A lot of people was doing steroids in football at one time. A lot of people was doing steroids in wrestling. Yeah.
If it was one of my heroes. Listen, man, you know how hard it's going to be for me to take out an Adrian Peterson jersey out of my fucking closet this year?
Listen, I'm a Kobe Bryant. Check this out, fellas. I'm a Kobe Bryant supporter all the way through since 96. When he went out to Eagle, Colorado and got caught up in that mess, he got crucified.
Not because
of the act, because of the fact he was married and he did what he did. You feel me?
So now that's the media. That's the media. Forget about you being a good Christian and him committing the sin of adultery. You know what I'm saying? The media will exploit certain aspects of these situations, and now the public has to decipher. Like Matt said, where is that line? Where do you draw that line? See, I draw the line. With the steroid guys, because if I had a direct emotional interest in that, I'd be pissed. Like if Flair said this, I'd be more pissed at Flair than I am at Hogan.
The only reason why steroids became a problem wasn't because athletes was taking it, because it filtered down to high schoolers taking it.
Yeah.
And that's when they realized it was a problem.
The thing about it, Phil, is at the end of the day, if he's a racist, okay, he's a prejudiced ex-wrestler. But you got racist cops out here on these police force. Racist, bro. I'm talking about racist.
Yeah, and
they want to talk about Hulk Hogan, a retired wrestler.
Oh, that's something from years ago.
But that's the media again, man. Years ago. That's the media again.
Because you know what, Tony C? That racist cop that hit that woman for whatever belligerent reason he did, that ain't going to get on TMZ. That ain't going to blow up MSN. That isn't going to break the internet down. But a beloved national icon, a national icon, and a beloved person that everybody is familiar with,
yeah,
that's what's going to blow up the media. So this is what it is. At the end of the day, it's the powers that be that control.
Well, celebrities
who gets crucified and who doesn't.
Yeah,
celebrities. They're distractions. The reason
Hogan ain't been a celebrity in years. He's
a household name though.
And because his name
off what he did in the past.
Listen,
he's a household name. So right, my kids can care less about wrestling. They know who Hulk Hogan is.
But you know what? Paula Deen drops the N-word
20 years ago.
Right, 20 years ago, and she lost an empire. Like
because the powers that be said so.
Right, she lost an empire. She lost a part of her business. She lost the network shows she had. She lost book deals. I mean, she got back.
She stopped selling her stuff in stores.
Yeah.
If they're so hurt by what he said, take him off the net. Take all the footage. You go back off the AWA.
They're not doing any of that shit. Because you know why? Because Vince is going to bank off that, and that's the bottom line. So if you like, that's a great point.
Off all the stuff
that's a great point. Pull off all the fucking WrestleManias. Pull off all the Saturday Night's main events. All the Rumbles up until 93.
Shut it down.
And that's, you know what?
It never happened.
And what do you have? Nothing. Because he made wrestling.
That's why the whole situation is bull. They pulled him from the web. It's bull.
It is bull.
You can't bring up the Silver Dome no more.
But it's a hot topic. It's a hot topic, and I respect.
But what you can do is the same thing he did to Benoit. It's just remove his name off of all the packages. Remove this. Remove that. Don't even bill him.
The footage is still there. You can't even find too much with Chris Benoit on it unless you go back and watch an old Nitro. Because no WWE stuff is pretty much gone.
But you making a big hoopla like this, doesn't it pay more light to it than it would be if they just quietly went, you got to go away, quietly fade him out? Because wrestling fans are like little ADD children. If you don't see it within the last 10, 15 minutes, you're going to forget about it. So you fade him out quietly.
They ain't going to live forever. No matter, they can't erase him from the
They can't erase his name, but I think they drew more of a light to it by going into instant panic mode.
This won't be in the news cycle next week.
Because some other idiot's going to take a spot. Other company's going to dig up something. It's a personal vendetta because Gawker's pissed off at him for him suing them. That's the only reason this came up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
pretty much.
It's a vendetta.
And once the sex tape comes out to rap,
you're done.
You know, now. But that's the thing, though. Are you done? Because, like, Paula Deen's getting her cookbooks back. Paula Deen's getting she's got the diabetes now. She lost all the weight. Now she has another show on the network.
She'll never recover. She'll never be what she was supposed to be.
Hopefully she saved the coins and she's straight. Just like Hogan.
So this basically narrows it down to a cultural thing. And a media thing where, you know, that where do you draw the line? And that's why I was going to take all these calls tonight, because I figured, you know what, everybody's going to have something to say, and I'd rather, you know, sometimes I look at it, like, all day I'm reading, you know, Facebook stuff and Twitter stuff, and I'm like, you see a lot of people who are just, they're not thinking before, and they're doing the same thing Hogan did. They're not thinking before they're typing. And they're being just as ignorant sometimes, and or just reading bits and pieces and just deciphering and coming up with your own theory and not seeing into it. Like Tony C is saying, he's not really a racist. He just said something stupid and ignorant. You know,
and he meant to say, like you said earlier, and I think Punk said it. Or he just the prejudice. That's all it is. It's a difference between
Tony, race. I'm prejudiced to, you know, when I went to Canada and I couldn't decipher fucking Fahrenheit and Celsius because I couldn't get it right, you know, and it's Memorial Day weekend and I'm sweating my balls off and it's 31 degrees, okay? and not because I'm fat either, because it was hot. Okay, and then I could, and I was prejudiced in Toronto because I couldn't decipher why my $500 in American turned into $750 Canadian at the time. The dollar was a little better, and I was like, I thought I was being like, you know, punked. I thought something was going on. Like, this can't be. Now you're just fucking with the Americans. And I was prejudiced in Niagara Falls because.
Did he let you go over the falls in a barrel?
In a barrel? No, I was too fat for that. But when you cross that Peace Bridge, and the Mounties are on the other side, and they give you a hard time because you're a dumb American tourist, they, you know, it's. And you're a 20-something-year-old kid, and you just want to get in this guy's face. You know, you can't because. I'm not respecting the culture. I'm not Canadian. I don't know the deal. You know what I'm saying? At the time, I didn't know the deal. So that's prejudice. Prejudice is when my great-grandmother would go into a bodega to buy a loaf of bread, and everybody there spoke a different language, and, you know, she didn't like it because she's ignorant. She's from Italy, off the boat, and she only knows Italian, and she knows broken English. And she refused to speak English. And that's my problem too with a lot of things, but that's another show, and I can't.
And how old is he?
Who, Hogan? 61.
Hogan.
61.
61.
No, Hogan. Hogan, 61?
61, yeah.
I mean, and this is not an excuse, and I don't want people to think, oh, this guy's defended Hogan. No, what he said was foolish and wrong, but like I said earlier, I know where to draw the line. And you know, his personal business is his own personal business. Whoa. But at 61, he came from a different era. Does that excuse it? No.
No.
But just like Phil's grandma, there's some things that are set in your life and that you grow up and the areas that you grow up with, and regardless if they're right or wrong, their traditions and their values are instilled with you. And just this is one thing my wife always says, you are a product of your environment.
And if you've
grown up in that environment, that regardless how world traveled you are, what you grow up in, you will always revert to that.
And I tell you what, that's a good point. Because I tell you what, I remember, and this is for especially for Phil and for Scott. How many hardcore shows you go to as a kid, and you see these fucking you see the skinheads with the white laces and the Doc Martens and the fucking tattoos, and then 4 years later, when that same band tours again, and you're in the club. Those dudes grow their hair out. They're wearing flight jackets and listening to fucking REM.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
There you go.
You're not a fucking skinhead. Because if you were a skinhead.
Colonel Rob Parker gave Brickhouse Brown a watermelon.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And freaking Weech, man.
Well, see, now we know the truth why Hogan got Patrick off Tough Enough. Because it's conspiracy.
Talking of Tough Enough. You know Ric Flair's replacing... The point I made earlier, the guy that said the N-word has been sacked, and he's now being replaced with the guy who insisted on calling Teddy Long boy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
You're talking to a guy who can't go to his home state because he has warrants out for his arrest.
But we didn't see that on videotape. You know, we didn't see that hasn't been leaked to TMZ that Ric Flair called Teddy Long boy.
Oh, I have it on videotape.
So he gets to be the judge of Tough Enough. That's how it works now.
Right. Huh,
it is on tape. It's when he was the limo driver.
Yeah.
And driving him around.
Well, he's saying TMZ's not going to play it. That's his point. Like, National Enquirer is not going to quote it, you know.
And you tell me how many conversations that him and Arn and Ole had in a hotel room.
But look at Andre.
You don't think that word was dropped around back in the NWA days?
Look at Andre dropping the N-word, Bad News Brown, and all the other shit.
But the thing is, back in the day, not everything was recorded. It wasn't the day of the media. And everybody
But what I'm saying is there has to be a point, unless somebody is physically going to be harmed, or if it's a case of national security, or, you know, something of great importance, what's said in private, you should be, as an American, to have that stay in private.
Well,
and
Donald
I think it's
Sterling.
A giant, regardless if it's right or wrong, man, Tony C can hang up the phone tonight and go, man, that freaking white guy, Matt, that guy's, but that's his God-given right. To express those opinions to his wife, in his house and be secured enough that that won't get out. Because that's his opinion. That's how he feels. And I just, like I said, I'm not making an excuse for him. What he said was heartless and evil, but there has to be a point of what's private and what deserves to be let out. And that was a private conversation between him and him and his daughter.
There's a certain sanctity that should be had with a man in private with his best mate's wife, who he's just had sex with while his best mate films it, you know? And you have to respect that.
My point is, Matt, you got to be smart. I said it earlier. This happens every day to people. You have to be careful what you say when you're in the public.
This was 8 years ago, Scott.
But it wasn't in public. He wasn't on a podium. He wasn't in a freaking courtyard. He was in the privacy of his own home.
But still gotta be careful.
Got out, and the WWE has a lot to protect. You know,
he didn't cut this promo in the middle of a ring.
Surfer, that's malarkey too. Because if they had that much to protect, they'll pull up. They'll pull all the like we said, all the videos, all the footage. And no, they ain't gonna pull that because people gonna cancel the network.
And if I'm wrong and out of line, somebody let me know. I mean, I don't know. There has to be a line that's drawn.
He don't wrestle for them no more.
Everybody's got a right to their opinion, man. Listen, there's no right and wrong. It's more of a moral thing, you know. If you feel it's right, then it's right, and I want to know why. If you feel it's wrong, tell me it's wrong.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't agree with what he said. I'm a man who gets behind a pulpit occasionally and preaches love and leadership, you know, and I'm all that stuff. I'm not justifying what he does.
Phil, I was more offended by that Triple H angle in 2003
with Katie Vick. Katie Vick thing really, really bothered me.
No, the Booker T thing was worse than, you know what I mean, on levels.
Yeah.
But that's different because it was the angle. They ain't gonna pull that off. You know what I mean?
Kurt Angle having bestiality sex with his wife.
Right.
Or Harley Race telling back in the day he had boys like Ron Simmons carrying his luggage. That's cool.
Tony C. Don't worry, man.
No. Surfer. A spade is a spade. A race is racist.
Exactly. You know what? Let's just say in a bizarro universe that everyone that was on the rant was at best a minor celebrity where we were known worldwide. What do you think would happen if we were all minor celebrities and then we did the Black Achievement Awards?
No, I want to say
I'm being honest. What would happen? Well, would there be a backlash?
Are we comedians or are we just like regular people? If we're comedians, nothing.
Hey, you know what? Hold up. One day, if one or all of us is making millions of dollars for ourselves and other people, and then that Black Achiever tape gets out and somebody's offended, well, what are you going to say? Well, I did that a long time ago. Leave me alone. Or, you know, sometimes.
That's the truth, though.
But
that's the truth. I did it a long time ago.
Yeah,
it was meant as a joke. What you going to do? What can you do?
I understand. Tell the truth. Some people will not understand that, and
that's their problem.
If some people feel you need to go away, I mean, that is the standard today. Maybe things are changing.
Look, ain't no money, and you know what you're telling. Ain't no money in your feelings, so get out of them. That is what it is.
Ain't no money.
It's like I say. It's been things that have been done other than this. That's way more offensive.
Exactly. And what burns me more, it's convenient to can them now. But when it's profitable to celebrate him when he dies,
exactly,
that's what they're going to do. And it's like, so what you're doing now means nothing. It nullifies the actions that you're taking now because you gain nothing from it.
If Triple H back in 2003 would have did an interview back in 2000 with something like this came out, he'd get suspended and that's it.
No, he would lose more than that. If he says something,
he wouldn't get fired. I bet that
would. Yes, he would.
I know the click. The click have done and said things way worse than what Hogan did.
Okay, but if it gets out, trust me,
it was out. People know about it. You see it on Shoot interview. They got drunk. What about the plane ride from hell, sir? What about the plane ride from hell?
Well, you know, it'll happen to Triple H. Trust me.
What about Randy Orton? No. What about Ric Flair dancing around on a air jet, butt naked with a robe on?
What about Roddy Piper painting his face black?
Exactly. Randy Orton crapping in people's bags and giving it to them. You see what I'm saying? That's because they're active wrestler. Hogan is a sacrificial lamb because he ain't relevant to what's going on right now.
Listen, Hogan's a lot bigger than all those people you just mentioned.
It means a lot more.
Sir,
it would
he
be
ain't
a
making
lot.
Them
it
no money
mean,
like Randy Orton and them was doing back.
He
is.
Of course, the next
making
time
the
he'll
money.
Make them money.
He's making
the next
them a
time he'll make
like
the money
this.
Is when
not
he dies.
Of course, he's
like
making
right
the
now.
Money.
He is still more right known than all those people you just mentioned. Okay.
Not right now.
Still, so
he's not. He's not making the money currently. He may have more
wrestling. Hulk Hogan. They don't.
He may have more prestige than all of those other guys, but he don't make nothing for him.
He
won't make nothing for him until he dies.
I'm
if
not
you,
talking
if
about make,
like that. He'll be in the ring.
Hulk Hogan makes some plenty. Hulk Hogan probably makes some a good whack of cash. What was the first thing that WWE did?
I didn't hear what you said.
Stone Cold said it slapped. That word slapped
fucking
on Long Yard, right
Hogan
in the
merch.
Camera.
And, you know, Hulk Hogan was there to be wheeled out at appearances and things like that. Hulk Hogan has that name value, that marquee value that they could use. And that's, you know, that's why he was taken on in the first fucking place. Hulk Hogan had, there was money to be made out of Hulk Hogan still. So to say that they just cut their
being
losses
on tough enough.
Being
that's
on tough enough.
It.
Being on, well,
that's
I mean,
about it. He
well,
cut
I mean,
his own shit.
But they had big plans for that show. That show is, well, it's supposed to be a lot bigger than it is. They put a lot of stock in that show, Tough Enough. I mean, it's the shits, but that's beside the point.
Man,
and they put Hulk Hogan front and center on that show.
Yep.
What Austin said in The Longest Yard, the way he said it in The Longest Yard to Nelly when they was in the library offended me more than this. I'm just saying. He looked dead in the camera and said,
"Well, maybe because it hits home for you because it's probably what you saw growing up or on your way or something. If it affected you that much, then you saw it. The same thing like when you know certain things I see on TV. Like you know, I couldn't watch Trainspotting like without fucking losing my mind because I grew up around heroin my whole life. So even though I see it on the street." I see it in the ambulance all the time, or I saw it, you know, growing up with friends. That movie, for some reason, had a profound effect on me. So I get it. You know, I truly...
It's old.
Yeah, it does.
So let me ask this question. Let's just say, for instance, Brock Lesnar was in that spot. Would he get fired?
Yes.
Hell no.
Yeah.
You lost your mind. They signed him to a 3-year deal. He'll get suspended.
No.
They ain't finna fire him because they got to pay him his money.
They'll let him go.
They're going to take him to court.
Because, you know, just because he signed a contract, there is a code of conduct clause. Yeah. And that's how you get out of it.
You can't, it can't, a company
they
the size of WWE, no. A company the size
fire.
Of WWE can't have it, Tony. They can't have this.
They will not fire those people.
There is too. Of course they will. There
zero
is
tolerance,
too,
man.
There is
so what are we
going to
do? Are we going to find
it?
They're a publicly traded company, man. They would have
the,
to fire.
The pressure.
They get popped for drugs all the time. Randy Orton been popped for drugs like how many times?
Yeah.
Three or four times.
So do we run a fine-tooth comb?
Him yet?
Do we run a fine-tooth comb over every superstar that's in there right now?
That was all before the network, Tony C. That was all before
they went public.
It was still a publicly traded company. They were still publicly traded when they all them people was getting popped.
He got popped in the show. They would let
Tony,
him.
Tony, there's a clear difference, though. There's a clear difference. You have to. This isn't so much right in terms of him being in terms of him being shit canned from WWE, right? This isn't so much a case of.
You don't need them,
justice.
That's what it can.
This is
They don't need Hogan.
This isn't a case of like, you know, what's right, what's wrong. This isn't about the racism. It's about the perception on the company. That's all it's down to.
I understand that.
Okay.
Totally.
At the moment, we're living through a time at the moment definitely in the last couple years of, especially in America, heightened racial tensions. That's inescapable. All right. That is a fact. You're living in time. We are living in times of heightened racial tension. Okay.
Very high.
Now you're talking about Randy Orton and his drugs. Randy Orton was caught smoking pot. What's been legalized across America at the moment? What's being viewed as a more acceptable crime these days? Racism or drug use? In terms of perception,
my argument is it happened. Is what I'm saying. I understand weed is legal now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but they don't need the bottom line of it. Hogan is a sacrificial lamb because they don't need him. If you draw money like that, they would reprimand him. He may even get suspended 6 months, a year or something.
But they're
not just going to throw away no cash cow like that.
Yes, they will. They have to.
I feel like they're going to start doing it.
To
everybody.
Anybody. John Cena.
They're
going to
start. You know why? Because we're not. The standard's been set. Yeah. Well, Phil's right, man. We're not progressing, man. We're regressing as a society, and I think it's because of the heightened social media and everything is scrutinized and micromanaged. It's like there's certain. I mean, and
everything's filmed. Yeah. Everything's posted.
Everything, like, you know, I can't.
And everything is over exaggerated to the umph degree.
Well, if it's like that,
I agree with you there, Matt. I completely disagree with you there, Phil, saying that we're going backwards as a society. What I think is happening here is we're actually going forwards in great strides as a society. And what you're seeing here is the resistance to that.
It's too
much,
though.
What I'm saying is, Punk, if y'all saying it's so serious, they're a publicly traded company, this person will get fired and all that. Well, since Hogan's been fired, Benoit, you got an issue against him, take him off the network. Take all their footage and everything off the network.
Absolutely.
Don't bank off.
Yeah, well, that
and
yeah,
then,
it,
then I'll believe what you're saying.
If the money,
absolutely.
Right, you're right.
I agree with
you're
you.
Right, you're right. If the money didn't move like it does, then that would be the case. They would have all the stuff off.
That's what I'm saying. It's not about right, wrong, justice. You're absolutely. If we were talking about this in terms of fairness, in terms of the justice of the situation, you're absolutely right. We would take everything to do with Hulk Hogan off of the network. Every mention of Hulk Hogan on any WWE program, but absolutely Benoit as well. Well, Benoit it kind of has, but I mean, his footage is still there to make money off of, right?
Yep.
Okay, but it's not about that. It's about the perception. Right. It keeps coming back to this thing of the perception, all right? How WWE is perceived following the actions of Hulk Hogan, yeah. How it reflects on them as a company and how they react is very important. In terms of their stock value, in terms of their sponsorships, in terms of their viewerships, all right?
In the
so
current
it's
stuff.
It's not about, like I said, in terms of justice, we take everything to do with Hulk Hogan away, yeah? But it's not. We've still got to make money here. We still want to make money here. In fact, do you know what? I bet Vince could give two fucking shits what Hulk Hogan thinks about black people. I imagine Vince holds a number of similar views to Hulk Hogan. Okay?
Yeah.
But.
That is what Punk is
more than Triple H. All right.
No.
What was that, sorry?
I said, is Vince the one that did the firing or is it Triple H?
Well, WWE did the firing.
Yeah, they have to. It's a board of people. They have to answer to.
Either way, he wouldn't. I mean, well, like me and Matt said at the beginning, he ain't moving the needle like that.
Right.
Anyway,
and if this happened a year and a half ago, I don't think it would be as big as it is now. But racial issues, like everyone was saying, it's the hottest button thing going on. And that, you know what? I got to agree with Phil. We are, to a certain extent, our society. Because you know what? All I see on Facebooks is this person getting arrested for this and all these little interactions with the with racial tension. And let me tell you something. Are a lot of those real? You betcha. Are a lot of those instigated? Darn right they are. When these people should just get up, there was something posted in the group page maybe a couple weeks back, of a lady getting kicked out of a mall. And instead of just leaving like a responsible person, she wants to create a ruckus. And she wants to exaggerate and make a scene.
Because she's being filmed.
Somebody's recording her.
Right.
And guess what? It's going to get hits. And we live in a society now that you can act like a fool and run amok, and you instantly get famous.
That's what boob tube is.
Everybody can instantly be famous now.
Well,
because
listen.
You defy authority. And guess what? That lady ended up getting tased in front of her kids, and there was this giant outcry of, how could you tase this lady in front of her kids? When she sat there for 15 minutes antagonizing this security guard because she knew what was going to happen, because it instantly made her famous.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember
that's the society that we live now. That we want to, and you know, I don't want to veer off, but you know, with the whole thing of, man, all these people are fast food people are getting $15 an hour now. Everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants to get famous. Everyone wants to be taken care of and well known, and not lift a finger or push yourself or apply yourself. Everybody wants everything handed to them on a silver platter, because we live in a society of entitlement. Just because you were born in this country and you woke up and you managed to put your shoes on, you think the world's entitled to you. And that's the state that we're in.
Well, listen, exactly. I can do this all night, but I have to start wrapping this up. But the bottom line is, I want to thank everybody for coming on, first of all. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank
you for having me.
I think this was really important to get out tonight. Because it was Hulk Hogan. He's the biggest star in this industry that we love and follow so closely since we were kids. And two, I think we, as smarter fans, and I guess pseudo-broadcast journalists, some of us that we do these shows, that we almost have like a responsibility to show some awareness to people who listen and to people who follow. Because you know what? At the end of the day, like I said before, we're all human beings. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to say things we don't mean. We're also going to – but at the same time, we have to be responsible for our actions. And the hardest part of being a human being is taking responsibility for your actions sometimes.
That's right.
And Phil, before I go, I just want to say, you know who's thanking Hulk Hogan right now? The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Goddamn right he is.
Yeah. But you got me. Let's get some final words. Phil, I'm so glad you came on tonight, man. Thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, man.
Dude, I'm going to put you on blast, though. We need sleeve notes back, so we get that work.
Yeah, I know. I need to get my shit together.
Are you at least getting your shit? Are we going to get one before the year's end? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right,
I'm
too, man.
I'm looking to get something up, at least you know, have a couple of shows up by the end of the year.
All right.
I'm looking to do it on my own, looking to like get something up on Libsyn or something. We'll see it.
We will definitely help you, whatever you need. Just reach out to me. I miss it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for coming on. Any last words, final words before I get you off here?
I fucking hate niggas.
I'm ringing the bell.
Honestly, that's the first time I've said that word, like, okay, not quoting something in fucking years.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I don't know where that came from. Gotcha. Yeah, anyway, night, folks.
Good night, Philly. Thank you so much.
Lovely.
All right, Surfer.
I'm hurt now.
Surfer, any final words?
I'm more worried about Tony C, man. It get don't work.
I ain't worried about Tony C, man.
It gets better, man. It gets better.
This is 2015. Hey. This is why we do this, and this is why
we tried to tell you a couple of weeks ago when I posted the video of him and Tony Atlas. You wanted to call him Thunder.
Listen, it is what it is.
When they come out 5 years from now, John Cena say the same thing. I'm gonna say the same thing to you.
You know what? Right. Then fuck John Cena.
Surf, is that your final words?
Yes. And record that.
Surf, that's your final words? Record. Is that it?
Sure, it'd be my final word.
You got anything jumping off for Sunday?
Just hope, call in. We can have a conversation.
All right, man. Be sure to tune in on the 5 p.m. on Rant on Sunday. Jordan and Surfer, what are you reading comic book show?
Name go before mine. That's not in my contract.
Listen, I unless the boss tells me different, then I'll do it.
And forget, Double ain't the boss of me.
Good night, Surfer.
Somebody got their big boy pants on.
Good night, Surfer.
Getting all uppity.
Uppity now. Here we go.
Have a magical night, sir. Scott, final words.
Oh, it's been a long day, and it was good to get on here and hear everybody's opinions. It's great. But the one person's opinion I want to hear is Mega Powers.
Fuck him.
What he has to say about this.
I'll get his opinion next week. And we're going to have, hopefully we'll have him in studio. I want to get Rage in studio. And I think the Unsilent Majority, who's now home, thank God, who'll be in studio for the big contract signing for Mega Slam. So it's going to be a big show next week. So I'll let him know. Well, you can let him know. Well, he'll listen that you were thinking of him. So.
Yeah. All right, man. You guys have a good night.
Good night, Scotty.
And Tony C, virtual hugs to you, my brother. Virtual hugs.
Matt, final words, my man.
Oh man, I guess the best representation of black people and white people, Sir Michael Jackson said, it doesn't matter if you're black or white.
It's true.
And I just think we should just hang our hats on that tonight.
That's it. All right, brother. Thank you for tuning in. I hope to get a road show out of you next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. Hope for checking in. Good stuff tonight, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me.
Good night, brother.
Night.
All right. And you, the shit stirrer. Final words from you, sir?
I want to say I appreciate you having me on, Phil. Hulk Hogan, the man, Terry Bollea. You are a prejudice, sir, but Hollywood Hogan, we always love you, okay? No matter what, the Voodoo Child will always live on, no matter how bad Vince. And that was a great opening, I wanted to tell you.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad I got that Onesta clip. That's my favorite.
If you can send me that somehow, some way.
I'll send it to you. Text me an email, and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right. Great. All right.
But I appreciate you having me on. Good luck tonight with the wife coming home.
Oh yeah, she's all ready. Let me get out of here. But I'll see you. I'll probably hook up with you on Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
I have a great weekend, brother.
Later, man.
All right. Thank you to my distinguished panel for coming on tonight. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank. This has been a great night, man. I'm going to wrap this up. Start my weekend off something proper. Get some music in here, but here we go. Hold on a second. All right. Hold on a second.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy who lived in the deep, dark jungles of Africa. His name was Little Sambo.
Little KMD for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEanRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, Geek Life Radio, Stitcher, iTunes. We're also on TuneIn. Look for us there. We have shirts. ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Support us, man. Go on, email us. TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks. Facebook. It's all there, kids. God bless. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Be kind to animals. Hug your mom. And stop saying the word nigga. Good night, kids.
stand 7 feet. Hairs that even if I wanted to, I couldn't pick. Pigment, is this a defect in birth? Or more an example of the richness in earth? Lips and eyes, I'm in the traits of all race. Does not take them 95% of one's face. But still I see in the back 2 or 3 ignorant punks pointing at me.
Oh, no.
I beg your pardon, but have you ever seen this brother whipping my hand anywhere? I must be a missing person. Have you ever saw his face on a milk carton? Tricky, tricky, must be part of the gas phase series. The same one who started Black Cat Bad Luck theories. Yeah, he done it, this place he runs it. And I'm guilty, Alcatraz of 400. Judgy not the unjudged is where he slipped. The real guilty is filthy, he took Egypt. Blew the nose right off the Sphinx. Now when he inks, ugly as when our hair kinks. We thinks, then zap goes the nap. Now I got good hair. If that's good hair, then bad's a hood hair. Comb, twisted, domed, braided or faded. The first man played it, and now we hate it. Rob the